Good morning. I was thinking about this morning the disciples who followed Jesus. I mean, they followed him like 3 years, like with the master for 3 years. And even after that, they're still like saying dumb stuff. And like, it's like, you guys still haven't got it. Like after 3 years. And like, you ever feel that way yourself? It's like, and yet Jesus is so patient, just continues to teach us and train us and continue to draw us in. And that's, I don't know, just so encouraging to me. I trust he's teaching and training you too. My name is Dove. If I have not met you, I had a sense this morning like God is doing powerful stuff in our midst, in our lives. And so I want to share with you guys how to catch a monkey this morning, in case you ever need to catch a monkey. Some of you probably already know how to catch a monkey. Some of you may have even had an opportunity. I wouldn't be surprised if Bruce, in one of the countries he lived in, did you ever catch a monkey, Bruce? All right. Okay. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the absolute honor of coming together with others who are seeking you. And thank you that we could worship you and appreciate you. Thank you that you continue to do amazing things in us and around us. And God, I ask that you would speak to us this morning. I ask that you would teach us what we need to hear. God, teach me what I need to hear from you. Give me the courage to follow you. Give me the courage to see what is in you, to see who you are, to see how much greater you are than the other things that I hang on to. Thank you for your presence. Thank you that you're always present, but thank you that we could just be aware that you are with us. And thank you for this time together. May your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so this is how you catch a monkey.
Laboriously drills a hole in a giant anteap when he is sure a baboon is watching him, because he knows baboons are incurably inquisitive. Next, he puts some wild melon seeds into the hole and works them in so that they drop into a hollow. Then he saunters off, knowing the baboon is burning with curiosity. The baboon doesn't trust that human being at all, so he plays it cool. But he's dying to know what gives in that confounded hole. Finally, Mr. Inquisitive can't take it any longer. He's got to know what's in there. He reaches in, grabs a fistful, and now his hand's too big to come out. If he had the sense to drop the seed, he could free his hand. Now he lets go when it's too late.
All right. You can also do it with, like, coconuts. Put a little hole in them and they reach in. I saw some other videos. So the idea is the monkey won't let go. If it would, it's free. But it wants whatever it is. It hasn't even seen what's in there. But it wants to keep it. And so... so sadly, I'm using that as an analogy for us, but I want you to think this morning, what would be one of the hardest things in your life to let go of or to give up? And I'm guessing some of us instantly think of something really good that God has given us. It's like, this is so good that the day that I have to let go of it, which we will, is going to be really hard. And maybe some of us thought of things that were not so good. Of like, I have this, maybe a hurt in my life. Of like, I want to let go of this, but I will not. I will not release this till I'm going to hang on to it because this person wronged me. Or maybe it's something of that we would love to let go of, but we just, it's so hard. Maybe it's fear or some kind of pride or control. It's like, I can't let go of it. And I want you to think about, what does that thing give you? What does it add to your life? What does it say to you? What does it communicate about you that makes it difficult to let go of? Does it give you some kind of security or comfort, or what is it that makes it so hard to let go of things in our lives sometimes? And so, this morning we're going through a series called Animation, being brought to life, being energized, awakened by the life giver. And we're looking at people who saw something in Jesus, and they're like, if I can just, I know there's something in Jesus, if I could get him, if I could get to him. And Jesus said, let anyone who's thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. And it's not just Jesus gives us something to satisfy us now, but there's something in Jesus that we know if we could, it's like if we could jump in that river, there's life. Not just a moment of life, but like ongoing life through us and this continuous life. And so today we're going to look at the rich young man and kind of that tension of, I see something in Jesus, and yet I don't know if I can let go. I don't know if I can jump in the river. There's something scary, or there's something, it's going to cost me something. Is it worth it? And so I want to start with a really positive example. A couple of Jesus' followers, his disciples. In Mark 1, it says, as Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon, also called Peter, and his brother Andrew, casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. And so Peter and Andrew, they saw this offer in Jesus to follow him, and they looked back at their nets and their family business and livelihood and said, yeah, I'm in. And they left it. They left their families, their jobs, their, and they just followed Jesus. And then the other example we're going to read and kind of look through is in Mark 10 of the rich young man. Will you come up, Jen? And I asked Jen if she would read it. If you guys want to follow along, what page are you on, Jen? It's on page 1281 in the Bibles under the seats.
As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for the rich to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Peter said to him, we have left everything to follow you. I tell you the truth, Jesus replied. No one who has left home or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for me and the gospel will fail to receive 100 times as much in this present age, homes, brothers, sisters, mothers, children, and fields, and with them persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last first.
Excellent. Thanks, Jen. So I just want to kind of dissect this a little bit and pick out some of the things. So this rich guy comes up to Jesus, and he, right away he's like, hey, good teacher, how do I get eternal life? And so it's an interesting phrase. Jesus is like, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. So first of all, he's just busting down this. You came to me because you think you have some goodness, and you see that in me too. Hey, we're both good. What do I need to do? It's like, nobody's good. Just kind of cuts that foundation out from under him. And then, it's an interesting thing too to say that. No one is good except God alone. The other part of that is Jesus is God in the flesh. And so he's saying, if you really see that I am good, realize I am God. And so he's not saying the reverse of like, hey, I'm not good, I'm not God. He's saying, no one is good except God. And so they have this conversation about being good. And he tells him, it's interesting, he mentions all the 10 commandments that have to do with loving others. And he says, do all these things. He's like, oh yeah, I've done that. And it's like, sweet, I'm good. Like And you can kind of appreciate this guy. I bet he, like, if you met him, you'd be like, he's a pretty good guy. That's pretty, I don't know, upstanding dude. And Jesus looks at him and loves him and says, there's still something you lack. That's not enough. Go sell what you have, give to the poor, then you will have treasures in heaven, and come follow me. And for this guy, that was what he couldn't let go of. And he looked at it, and he looked at Jesus, and he walked away. And the reward that was greater than everything he would leave, he couldn't see. He couldn't see it for what it was, and he left. And so then Jesus has this conversation with his disciples. He says, how hard it is for the rich to enter heaven. It's impossible. And for the disciples, the rich were kind of the ones who had favor with God. They were the ones who were like, man, these are the ones that God has blessed. These are like God's people. If they can't get saved, who could? It's like, yeah, it's impossible. But not with God. With God, all things are possible. So then Peter, he's got to chime in, you know. I like Peter. He's always throwing something in, whether it's totally foolish or not. Hey, what about us? I mean, we weren't rich, but we still, maybe we were just poor fishermen, but we left everything. Do we still get, like, does this offer still apply to us? He's like, yeah, absolutely. Any of you who has left your homes, your jobs, your relationships, you will receive those just as much. Other relationships, places to live, things to do, and along with that, persecutions. And I don't know, I'm not really going to go into it. It's a whole different conversation, but I think I've always read that as, and by the way, it's not totally good. There's a little bit of a negative side to that. But if you read some of the people that really understood, I don't know, I think it's a spiritual level I haven't really attained, who really understood the value of persecution, I think he's saying there's actually a reward in this. He's saying another one of the rewards you will get is persecution. And that's another conversation for another time, but I don't think he's saying, it's pretty good, but it's not totally good. He's saying, and there's a lot of good stuff there. And anyone who has left these, he says, for me and the gospel, and the gospel is the message, the good news that Jesus has opened up the kingdom of heaven. And through him, we can enter into the kingdom of heaven and be completely right with God and be with Him and know Him and live with Him forever in His kingdom. So, and then lastly, just kind of looking at it, and then he says, many who are first will be last and last first. So many in this life who are kind of looked down on will be one day highly esteemed. And many who are seen as really amazing in this life will one day be really lowly and like not highly esteemed. The first will be last, the last will be first. Okay, so one more time, just kind of a recap. The rich man asked Jesus how to get eternal life. They have this conversation about being good, because that's kind of where this guy's putting his hope. Jesus tells him that despite his good life, he's lacking. He didn't make it. He's missing something. He tells him to give up his money, have rewards in heaven, and follow him. And he says, sorry, and walks away sad. Then he talks to his disciples. He teaches them it's impossible for the rich to enter heaven. It's like a camel going through the eye of a needle. And maybe if camels didn't have like that big hump, like maybe you could like, I don't know, you know. No, probably not. It's like, it's not going to work, but it is possible with God. And he tells his disciples they will be rewarded for their faith in this life and later with eternal life. What an amazing account. What an amazing interaction. So what lessons are there in that for us? And so I just kind of want to dissect three lessons. The first is that the story is about how to get eternal life. It begins and ends talking about eternal life. And there is a huge lesson. How do we get eternal life? We cannot trust in ourselves. We cannot trust in our own goodness, in our sufficiency. We must rely on God. And just to look at a couple of those phrases that Jesus said in this, no one is good except God alone. There's something you lack. Of yourself you are lacking. Follow me. How hard it is to enter the kingdom of God. With man, it is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. And in my life, there became a time when I saw the offer of Christ in the sacrifice that He had given for me. And I deliberately said, yeah, I'm going to turn from this. I'm going to no longer trust in my goodness, trust in me making my way to heaven. I'm going to turn to that and I'm asking you to give me the gift. I'm putting my trust in you to make me right, to make me righteous, and to give me eternal life. And I think there's kind of a deliberate just repentance, a deliberate turning of saying, I'm not going to trust here anymore. I will trust in you. I will walk in you. And then it's a process after that of continuing to walk in that. Continuing to walk in, I will trust Jesus. I will trust Him in what He's done for me. So I want to ask you, where is your hope for eternal life? Is it in yourself? Is it in, man, I'm a pretty good person. Like, I don't know, I haven't done anything super bad, at least not as bad as this person. It's like, I don't know, I'm like, or is it in Jesus? Like, I don't put trust in myself. I'm trusting in Christ for eternal life. What an amazing adventure and kind of risk of saying, okay, I'm going to let go of myself and bank on you. Like, and then even beyond that, as far as things in this life, There's a lesson about how someone can miss out on life, on being in, swimming in the river with Jesus, the river of life, because they wanted to hold on to something that was actually less. And I think it's actually easy for me 2,000 years later to look at this rich guy and be like, come on. You seriously like were more interested in your like herd of camels and palace made of rocks and I don't know. What were the greatest treasures then? You would rather do that looking back than follow the Son of God and go where He went and hear things from His mouth and be a part of history, be a part of life. And yet I think He got the same things that we got from what He had. Maybe it would be, I don't know, maybe if He had a Ferrari or something, I wouldn't like look down on Him so much like, seriously, what good was there? And yet that same temptation, that same appeal. If we told Mark Zuckerberg, the founder of Facebook, say, hey, leave your billions, leave your fame, leave whatever, leave this little computer thing that has lots of ads and social media, leave it behind, follow Jesus. Would you be convinced that you were giving Him something so much better? Because looking back years from now, easily He had something better. And so I was kind of thinking about it. What did this guy's riches give Him? What was the appeal there? What was He hanging on to? Obviously, those riches give Him stuff and cool experiences. They didn't have bungee jumping yet, but I don't know. He had the money to, like, have cool experiences. But I think even, like, deeper than that, you know, it gave Him a certain amount of pleasure. It gave Him comfort. Maybe a lack of pain. He could, like, have a life without as much pain, hopefully. It gave Him security. It gave Him control. Get to be in control. It gave Him power. What did those riches give Him? What was the appeal in those that made it so challenging? Gave Him some reputation, gave Him praise from people, gave Him some achievement, accomplishment. It's interesting to think about, I was kind of processing this with some other people, like, I wonder what this guy's story was. Was he out to like prove that he could be the richest guy? Was he like, did he have some kind of chip on his shoulder, like, I'll show you guys? Was it a family business that he inherited and he wanted to, like, show that he could be trusted and, like, honor his parents? And had he gone through some hard times in life? Had he really, really struggled? Was like, I'm never going back there. I'm going to hang on to this that gives me a security that I never have to struggle like that again. What did it give him in that achievement, accomplishment? I'm assuming he had some kind of significance, like importance. I'm valuable. Those riches offer that. And even though I can be hard on this guy, like, come on. You would rather have that than follow Jesus? These are challenges to me. I find myself hanging on to my own, finding significance in what I do, in my accomplishment. I find myself hanging on to that praise from people or reputations. Like, I want this so much, more than following Jesus. So what could his riches never give him? And I would say his riches could never give him any of those things. They could give him a false or fleeting illusion of him. He could have like moments of pleasure or comfort. He could have like a false sense of security, a false sense of power and control. But it could never really give him any of those things long term. could never really give him a sense of significance. The riches could never allow him to be loved for who he was. No matter how much he got, he would never get that. They would never give him a real hope in something that was truly trustworthy. They could never give him eternal life. I want to just kind of stop here for a little bit and just kind of think about our own lives and process just a little bit. Again, I appreciated other people's kind of feedback and thinking through this. I think a lot of times, honestly, we have to wrestle with this. Is God truly good? Can I truly trust him? Or do I need to take whatever I can get on my own? Even if it's not excellent, perfect, what, you know, I can't totally get it, at least I can get whatever I can get. Is he really good? And we have to walk through that. And I think really if we see it, it's like the reward in Jesus is so much greater. Those things are really pathetic. If we saw the things we hung on to in a true comparison, we wouldn't even bat an eye. And getting to be with God and to know that true acceptance, to know that being loved for who we are, to being known, to be with someone who says, I will never drive you away. I will always take you. To be with the one who gives us eternal life is greater than any of the other things that we hang on to. And if his offer is really true, it's the greatest thing. And if it's not, I guess who cares, really? All this stuff's going to fade and die out anyways. But I've put my hope in Christ and what he gives, and I continue to walk on that path. And as we let go of those places, for me, I honestly have those places where I see I want the praise of people so much. And I hang on to it sometimes. And when I let go of it, there's such an amazing freedom. And those things that we thought would give us life that we hang on to actually like keep us, actually like enslave us rather than giving, they actually hold us back. And when we let go of those, it's actually really freeing. And so for us, there's that offer just to continue to walk in finding our life in Christ and letting go of the other places we turn to try to find life that never really pan out. The third lesson is, as he talks to the disciples, there's a lesson about how following Jesus is rewarded. When Jesus asks us to give something up, he asks for our good. It's actually an offer. He's not saying, hey, I want you to get rid of something. He's saying, hey, I want to give you something. It doesn't always sound that way. Like, hey, let go of this and follow me. It's like, you're trying to take something away from me? No, I'm trying to give you something. For our good. When we trust him, he gives us what is better than what we gave up, including eternal life. And I think it's so easy to like focus on even my question, what is that one thing that would be so hard to let go of? It's like, that's, in a lot of ways, it's kind of a lame question. I realize that. Like, well, who cares, really? If we focus more on the reward, what is the reward you really want? If you could have any reward at the end of this life, anything you want, what would you like? I think being done with this mess is going to be a pretty great reward in itself. I'm looking forward to walking up to my dad again and just giving him a huge hug. And then I hope after that, maybe, I didn't think of it, maybe together, we're just going to fly. So, like, wouldn't that be awesome? We're going to fly around and kind of explore for a little bit. And we're going to have that kind of relationship, beautiful, without all that selfish stuff that we're kind of wrestling with here. And is that going to happen? Probably not. But Jesus says that he gives us more than we could ask or imagine. What he gives us is better than we ask or imagine. Whatever you can imagine, he can give you something better than that. Do we allow ourselves to actually appreciate what we have and to dream about what he's going to give us? I don't too often. But to imagine that, there's life in Jesus. And so, I don't know about you, but as I move along, it's kind of those intangibles that I wrestle with. It's kind of the deeper things of what I'm hanging on to. I'm hanging on to it for a different reason. These things in life, maybe my work or my possessions, more than just them and themselves being hard to let go of, they give me some kind of significance. So this morning, I want to invite us to let go of finding significance, finding value, finding our life in our own control, in our own production and sense of worth or reputation, and find our life in Jesus. And part of that, I think, is similar to that prayer of coming to Christ, of just acknowledging, like, wow, I've been walking. I've been seeking life in these places of myself. I want to let go of that, and I trust you. Thank you, Jesus, for the life that you've given me. Thank you for the acceptance and value and worth. And to take some time and enjoy those things. Sometimes I sit on my couch when I have a moment and just try to appreciate, like, I am right with God. He cares about me. He accepts me exactly how I am. And enjoy that. I got a bunch of different quotes. This is from Tommy. He's over at the other campus. I just thought this was really good. When I make a decision to trust God and in His goodness, I have more serenity. No matter the circumstances, I'm at peace. More fellowship, more intimacy, more connection, more gratefulness and joy. I live in the present, and the present is good. Usually this has to start small, but then trust begets trust. I love this place. And he was sharing how hard it is to stay in that place. And then he goes back to relying on himself so easily, which I can totally relate to. And even then, you go back to relying on yourself, and God is still God, and he's still on the throne. And you come back and trust him. It's like, there's so much peace there. I want to trust in God instead of myself. If we will trust and follow Jesus, it will be worth it. So at the end of the day, I guess, I hope none of you go home and just give up your house and leave your kids and, I don't know, go live homeless or something. But I want to encourage you, if there's things that you feel like God is asking you to let go of, that maybe you've held on to for a long time, to find that freedom and to find that life and letting go and leaving it behind and following Jesus, walking on the path that He has for you. Maybe it's letting go of some fears or insecurities. Maybe it's letting go of some control in your life. Maybe it's letting go of other people's opinion of you, whether good or bad. I don't know what it is for you, but I know some of those things for me, and I encourage each of us just to follow Jesus. It is worth it. So. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your offer of life. I thank you for your example of those who followed in the places that you asked of them. God, I ask that you would give each one of us a clarity of where you're leading us, that you would give us a joy and a desire to follow you. God, I want to follow you. I want to follow you. My life is in you. I know this world offers nothing, and yet I turn back and rely on myself, and yet here I am. Here I am to follow you afresh. Here I am to find my trust in you. Thank you for being trustworthy. Thank you for the adventure you have each one of us on. I thank you that you are gentle, that you don't snatch things from us or get mad at us or frustrated, but you offer us life, that you draw us in. Give us the courage to jump into your river and swim with you. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our midst. In Jesus' name, amen.